At Soycle. Welcome to the 1 o'clock no sour haha funny hour. At Soycle. We are back on the no sour haha funny power hour. At Soycle. What is it, Greg?
The no sour fun time haha power hour.
Moving Wisconsin forward, one joke at a time, this is Kristen Bry with As Goes Wisconsin.
Yada, yada, yada.
Hello, Wisconsin. Welcome to the 1 o'clock hour. And apparently I've been getting it wrong this whole time. Greg Bach, what is the name of this hour?
The No Sour Fun Time Ha Ha Power Hour.
You don't know it either.
No, I don't. But I made it up on the spot when I did it.
This is the hour after we sludge through sometimes fun things, but a lot of times heavier, policy-heavy, hard stories, but important stories. And then we get to the last hour of the show where we do feel-good stories, human interest stories.
Are you ready to be uplifted?
Yes. And sometimes goofy, funny stories. And this hour is no different than the others. We are so excited to talk to Adam Van Noord, who is the director of ECDC's Multicultural Community Center in Wausau, Wisconsin, because after a year of building a resettlement agency and setting up new lives for 160 people seeking refuge, this Multicultural Community Center in Wausau celebrated those lives in the community that has supported them last month. And so we're so excited to learn more about what this process looks like, how people are getting readjusting and resettling in central Wisconsin. So thank you for joining us, Adam.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me on. Happy to be here. This is a new experience for me.
Is this your first time on the radio?
Well, yes, on the radio. We've done a lot of, you know, TV-type spots, but this is more fun already, so.
Well, that is what we pride ourselves in. We're a little loose, we're very fun, and we're very conversational, and we're very excited that you're here. So I saw this article first from WPR as far as in just a year. I mean, so truly, so the agency or the Multicultural Community Center that you work for was January 2021 when it first opened?
Yeah. So technically, I was a staff of one from October to January. And so I had a few months to kind of, you know, figure out how we're going to set up our internet and buy computers and start like working toward, you know, the idea of launching a refugee resettlement agency before I hired my first staff member. But yes, in January, we had a staff of three, and things really took off quickly.
And so I'm screwing up the timeline as far as what was the timeline between, obviously, a lot of the people that you have been working with are refugees from Afghanistan, but that's not the only country. So where was the opening of your center with the influx of Afghani refugees?
No, I think you had it right. So January 2022 was when we first received our first two families.
Okay.
So this whole last year, just over a year now, we've been resettling people. Initially, the bulk of our individuals were coming from Afghanistan in the wake of that unfolding crisis that had occurred prior. So yes, it's been just over 1 year of actually, you know, receiving, resettling and supporting families toward self-sufficiency in central Wisconsin.
And so for those of us who obviously this, we hear about this, we read about this, but what is kind of an insight into what the resettlement process looks like? Like, how do people end up in Wisconsin?
Yeah, great question. It's such a niche in the big wide context of immigration. Just in a nutshell, you know, the U.S. Has been obviously a country where immigrants could come and seek prosperity for hundreds of years, right? But really, it wasn't until after World War II and then finally the 1980 Refugee Act is what put in place the mechanisms that we have today, which allows us to, you know, identify vulnerable groups around the world and set actual numbers attributed to those different regions, and then decide how many in a given year we can take in as official refugees and set them up for success here.
Got it. And so, and one thing I think, I don't even know if I can define each, but there's different categories of immigration and immigrants that come to the country. And so there is refugee versus asylum seeker versus immigrant. And that is the difference between someone who's undocumented versus documented. And so kind of as someone who works in this, how do you best explain that to a lay person?
Such a great question and glad you asked it. You know, obviously immigrant is probably the most general term. People leave their home countries for so many different reasons. You know, people from America will move to overseas contexts for different reasons. And so that's just constantly happening in our world and increasingly in today's age. And so immigrant is just anybody moving for any reason. Most often there's an, you know, economic component to that, right? People seek prosperity where they can find it. But sadly, you know, we are seeing unprecedented forced displacement around the world today. And, you know, you don't have to watch the news for very long to find out why. There's, you know, there's food insecurity around the world. We have active wars right now, two of which we are hearing a lot about, some of which have been going on for a long time and the average American knows nothing about, ethnic wars, ethnic violence in different places in the world. And then, of course, natural disasters. You know, just was it last week? Turkey, Syria, we saw an incredibly powerful earthquake just devastate a vast part of their country. And so when those things happen, people are going to seek protection and safety somewhere, somehow. And America, as one of the most prosperous countries on the planet, I think it's been a bipartisan consensus for decades that we should seek to accommodate some number of people within our capacity. And so I think the problem today is that the official mechanics of the refugee resettlement infrastructure sometimes get conflated with other complex immigration policy issues, such as border security and, you know, what to do with the undocumented crises and how you pay for all this as a country. So it is valid. You know, these are very important topics to give attention to and discuss and really develop policies that reflect our goals and desires as a country.
We are talking to Adam Van Noort. He is the director of the ECDC's Multicultural Community Center in Wausau, and about their efforts setting up new lives for 160 people seeking a home here in Wisconsin.
And so what is that? If there's any stories that you feel comfortable sharing with us as far as kind of the success that the families in the last year, families or individuals, and how they're adjusting to central Wisconsin.
Yes, and if I might just add, I forgot to finish your previous question, which is very important. So a refugee, just to make that very clear, is an official status conveyed by U.S. law, right? And a refugee is someone who's been forced to flee their home country due to persecution, war, violence, or a difference in political opinion. So politically motivated ethnic violence could be a part of that. And they are seeking legal protection in a country that is not their own. Okay, that happens in our context through a very long drawn out process with lots of controls. And typically it takes 2, maybe 3 years for someone to apply for that status and be basically allocated to an agency in the US for resettlement. Asylum seekers are similar in the sense that they are also typically displaced from their home country and seeking protections, but they come to the U.S. or to another country and enter that country before they have been provided refugee status or another legal status.
Okay.
In other words, it's so bad where they are, they're compelled to leave and hoping that there's a place for them within the immigration system in the country where they're seeking refuge.
That's interesting. I think I probably have used those interchangeably, not knowing that there's actually a different in the status.
Yeah. And then so, you know, then you have undocumented, which is just a general phrase for anybody coming. Maybe they overstayed a work visa. Maybe they came here like, you know, legally and they just didn't renew or that visa lapsed, or you have the people who are sneaking across borders and maybe never actually listed their name or made themselves known to any official agency and are here under the radar. So that would be your undocumented. So back to your other question, though, which I like too, is the success stories. And so when people come here, most of the people that we're receiving now have been in the refugee process for quite some time, and they are just ready to put down roots. They are tired of being in flux. Maybe that was in a refugee camp that they're coming from. And so they meet Americans and they meet our agency staff, and they truly want to do whatever they have to do to be successful here. But they require a lot of supports. You know, if they are coming without a solid grasp of the English language, or if they are coming with some health complications. So our job is to really meet them where they're at, do a full assessment of what it's going to take to make them successful here as quickly as possible, help them get that first job, generate income, locate safe, suitable housing, get them connected with any public benefits that they might qualify for. And really all of this is just to help them get on their own two feet as quickly as possible. It's not intended to be a long-term, like indefinite, like welfare type support system. It's all about all trending toward independence and self-sufficiency. So we've seen a lot of people grow really quickly here and are very motivated to work and provide for their families.
That's so great to hear. And so we only have about a minute left, but did I read it correctly that in this year, so for the upcoming year of 2023, likely you guys have the capacity for another 160 people?
It's about 150 a year is what our target is. Again, it's not quota. It's not like we're, you know, doing everything we can to hit that number, right? It's just, that's what our stated capacity is, which has been made not just by our agency, but in partnership with our local stakeholders, school system, healthcare, public benefit agencies. We really communicate and ensure that when people come, they're going to have adequate resources.
Absolutely. Well, Adam Van Noord, who is a director of ECDC's Multicultural Community Center in Wausau, thank you so much for spending time with us today. It's such a feel-good story.
Yep, and it's not ACDC, it's ECDC.
ECDC. You should make shirts. You should make shirts on the logo. All right, this is As Goes Wisconsin. Yeah. Stick around.
You are listening to As Goes Wisconsin, a product of Civic Media. Enjoy it live across Wisconsin, Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. until 2 p.m. Find your local station on our website, civicmedia.us, or on the Civic Media app, and catch any of your favorite shows as a podcast wherever you listen.
You know that today, Greg Bach, did you know? Jane Madner, did you know that today is National Wisconsin Day?
I feel like it's just a way to make fun of us more. I don't know why. It's just like, I don't know.
Did you guys know that?
I did not know this.
Well, shout out to the a cappella group, Fundamentally Sound, and their TikTok that I came across.
So great.
Of them. This is a acapella group from University of Wisconsin-Madison. I think they're all men. They have a very silly video to go along with that song that I think they wrote themselves.
It's perfect. And it's perfect, quite frankly, for our program.
It is. It is. I feel like that will not be the last time you hear that song as bumper music on this program.
Jane's so excited.
And so... this was only signed until it's a very young holiday.
Oh, well, that explains why we might not have heard of it.
Tony Evers only signed this into, I guess, law or honorary
proclamation
in 2019.
Wait a minute. How does he? That doesn't make sense.
What do you mean?
No. I feel like the president has to say that. Like, it's national. Like,
no.
Yeah.
I mean, I think this is only, I think only Wisconsin is celebrating this. I don't know why it's called national,
though. That's the thing, though. It's like, if it's National Wisconsin Day, this is something that's celebrated all across the land. If it's Tony, that's like giving yourself a nickname. Like, if Tony Evers was like, start calling me Oaklander, we're like, we're not calling you that. We are not calling you that, sir. At best, we're going to call you Tiny Santa Claus.
Skinny Santa Claus.
Skinny Santa Claus. Yeah. Okay. This, all right. Okay.
So this, I love this because on nationaltoday.com, yep, a site that I frequent often for this program.
You never know what you're going to find.
I love that the National Wisconsin Day timeline has four entries on it. This is what they are. 10,000 BC. Welcome to Wisconsin. Paleo Indians, the first known inhabitants, arrive in Wisconsin, or whatever the land was at that point. So that's 10,000 BC.
Okay.
Then we fast forward a whole lot of time to 1836.
Oh, well, because nothing happened in the interim. Not really.
When Wisconsin territory is created by the act of the United States Congress, then not so much of a jump to 1848, when Wisconsin officially becomes a part of the Union of the U.S., and then jump to 2019, Governor Tony Evers dedicates February 15th to Wisconsin.
Sounds like they have a pretty small staff there.
On nationaltoday.com, we're like way down there.
Oh, yeah. It's not that old. You got to have a little more established presence.
It's National Marcus Day.
Also Chris Farley's birthday.
Oh, okay. Well, way to bring it down, kiddo.
Well, we can still celebrate.
It's National Black Girl Magic Day. I love it.
But I guess, what does one do on National? And how does this differ from our birthday? Because we're having our 175th birthday that's coming up this year.
Oh, what would that be? Because I remember it was the sesquicentennial.
What was that?
Sesquicentennial. That's the 150th?
Innovative.
Shut up. You know what? I'm tired of you mocking my education. I was educated at fine schools right here in Waukesha.
Right here in Waukesha. You were. But I truly, because I feel like every couple months there's some random Wisconsin day.
Celebration of some kind.
What, Greg?
So when it was 150, it was the sesquicentennial. Coming up is the demi-semi-septicentennial.
That's amazing.
Oh.
We should make shirts.
Oh, yeah. It should go all the way around. Like, I don't know. It'd celebrate the way we always celebrate. Eating our feelings and... Getting ready for the snow tomorrow.
Ugh. That is true. Is there any more updates? Do you think this is going to be a false alarm like Christmas was?
It's really hard to say. Because as the meteorologist will always say, it depends upon how it tracks.
Yeah. And I live by the lake, so it's always like, it's either better or worse.
Right,
like,
yeah. It can be good and bad.
Yeah, it's just, I think that we'll just have to
wait and see. We'll just have to wait and see because... you get in here earlier than I do, so you may get here and beat it, but then what happens if you get stuck here, Jane?
I guess I'll be living here.
You live here now.
Do we have a cot here yet?
No, but there's a really nice hotel that's a couple blocks away that's right downtown.
Charge it to the company.
It's across from the Nice Ash.
What'd you say?
It's across from the Nice Ash.
Which is a smoking lounge.
And so if I absolutely have to stay overnight somewhere, that's where I'm staying.
Treat yourself.
Yes.
Yes. But... So, yes, take heed that...
Heed.
Is it all southeast Wisconsin?
Most of southeast Wisconsin.
We're supposed to get up to 10 inches during the day
tomorrow. To 10-ish, yeah. Depending upon where you are.
And that is... Yes, Greg, you're probably right. That is the incongruent weather, because right now it's 37 degrees, barely need a coat. And tomorrow we are getting a snowstorm, and then it's supposed to be 40 on... Sunday.
Yeah.
So welcome to Wisconsin.
Well, and we had gale force winds today. It was crazy.
Oh, yeah.
Who likes Gale? She steals my yogurt out of
sucks.
The refrigerator every time I'm here.
No, but I was recording the news earlier this morning, and the wind whistling was audible.
Yeah.
It was just crazy.
When I got up this morning, I felt like my house was being shaken, and I have a pretty sturdy house.
Do you?
Yeah, it's a sturdy house.
Not your Lego houses.
No, they would crumble.
This is one wolf's blow. They're gone.
Today is Saint Skeletor's Day.
What? not?
Skeletor from He-Man. Did you watch He-Man?
Well, that's more my brother's thing.
Okay, yeah. Well, he's canonized, and today's his day of celebration.
You know what it also is?
What?
Single Awareness Day.
Oh.
Which is what we're going to talk about next. We have a very special guest.
Check out your singles.
Who is single, because none of us are single, so we can't partake in this holiday, also known as SAD. And so when we come back, we are going to have a conversation with a local comedian about her single status. Regan Nimala is going to be... Nimala.
There it is.
Regan Nimala is going to join us on the other side of the break. It's going to be funny. You don't want to miss this. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
Let's go to Pick and Save.
Good. We were gold, kind of dream that can't be sold. We were right till we weren't, built a home and watched it burn. I didn't want to leave, I didn't want to lie.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. I am Kristen Bry, non-single person. Jane Matinair, also non-single person.
Non-single person.
Greg Bach, non-single person. So unfortunately, we cannot partake in Single Awareness Day. But our guest, who is on the phone, Milwaukee comedian Regan Nimala, you sure can, can't you?
Oh, yes. Yes, I can,
because you are alone.
Regan,
two cats. That's all I got, baby.
Did you know that the acronym for this holiday, celebrated every year on February 15th, is SAD?
Oh, my God. That is, it really should, they should rework it, somehow make it MAD.
There you go. So I wanted to invite you on because Regan and I were both part of the Milwaukee Roast last October, and I got to witness some of her jokes about dating in Milwaukee that I almost peed my pants because they were so funny. And I'm not sure how many of them you can share in their full glory on the radio, Regan. But as far as just asking you, what is it like to be single in Milwaukee these days?
It's not good, Kristen. It's not great. I've done the apps. I've been to the bars. And yeah, it's rough out there. That roast, I think the way I categorized it after a solid 2 years of being on the dating apps, I just kind of started to divide the men up by the neighborhoods they live in. And that was kind of where those jokes came from. So I don't know if you guys want me to just run through
them. Yeah, go for it.
You can't curse, but beyond that,
okay.
let's go through the neighborhoods of what kind of men you or women you can typically find in the area.
And I could talk about both for sure. Yeah, no. Most of my dating has been in River West. Part of that is because I myself am a barfly, so it's not like I'm the greatest catch here either. But I think River West. The River West guys are usually the hipsters. For some reason, they're wearing Carhartt. We don't know why, because they don't have those kinds of jobs. But they're wearing Carhartt, and. They're those types of dudes who, when you go home with them, they're the kind of guy who's going to ask you to confirm consent so many times that eventually you beg them to choke you. You understand? That's kind of what we're working with. It's white guys with dreads who are going to explain Roe versus Wade to you, the woman. That's kind of what's going on. Yeah, not good. We call them River West rats. That's just for me. A lot of functioning alcoholics who want to explain their tattoos. That's exactly what's going on there. So then after I kind of like got through my River West phase, I was like, oh, I'm going to mature here. I'm going to go down to Bayview. I'm going to do some Bayview.
That's maturity.
Baby boys. Oh yeah. No, the baby boy is as emotionally undeveloped as the River West guys, but they have slightly more money. They just have slightly more money. If you want to date a guy in Bayview, you want to date him if you're wondering what it's like to be condescended to about tapas. That's exactly, be like, yeah, these small plates, baby, you don't even know. I don't know. dating dudes in Bayview always feels like it's the kind of guy who's going to like talk to you about Black Lives Matter, and they're going to have BLM signs in their window while they're simultaneously going to do everything possible to live as far away as possible from those communities. They're just like the biggest ironic hipsters of all time. Also, have you guys ever dated anyone in Bayview?
I've barely dated in Milwaukee. I met Mike almost as soon as I moved here. So I never got to experience the glory that is dating in Milwaukee, Reagan.
No, I mean,
If you date one bartender in Bayview, you've dated them all because they all work at the same bars and they're all best friends. It's the most incestuous. It's not okay. Don't date Bayview, for sure.
We're talking to Reagan Nivola. We're talking to Reagan Nivola, who is a Milwaukee-based comedian, about her experience on Singles Awareness Day of being a single person trying to date in Milwaukee. And so what's the next neighborhood?
Yeah, I can't believe I would tell somebody to date in River West over Bayview, but it's true. then we got to get out to West Dallas, right?
Oh, okay.
You got to.
Oh, baby.
You got to. Oh, yeah. No. see, dating a guy in West Dallas is great if you don't want to be the one who has to suggest not using a condom. You don't want to have to be the one to put it out there. You want the guy to make an assumption. That's great. Oh, man. Yeah, if you want to make out with somebody who has an active dip in their mouth, you should date in West Dallas. Free tobacco. You'll get a free buzz. Yeah. What else did we do on this? I'm trying to remember what we all did on the show. But yeah, honestly, dating in West Dallas isn't good because you're going to have to drive to be disappointed when you could just maybe take a bus. It's not as fun. Walker's Point, always great for dating the ladies. I date the ladies and the guys. I'm dating the women right now, but it's very difficult because I don't know if you guys know what it's like dating women. Obviously, women over the last 100 years gotten a ton of rights. The women have become incredibly confident these last for forever until Roe versus Wade happened. Then women got confident and angry, right? Because we had our rights taken away. Now women are confident and angry. Does that remind you of anyone, you guys? Now women are basically men. They're basically men. I went out with this lady and I was in Walker's Point. I really don't have any advice on this. This is more of a PSA, more of a warning. I went out with a woman and recently told her that I don't want to see her anymore, and she was like, that's okay, but just so you know, I might bother you until you concede, which is something that no man has ever said to me. Like, I feel like every time I've dated a dude, he just like calls me a not nice name, and then he sleeps with somebody I know personally, right? But when you break up with a woman, you're going to become part of her 5-year revenge arc plan. That is what's happening in Walker's Point.
I was going to say, I've never heard a person invoke what sounds like Robert's rules in their engagement and breaking up. Like, I will pursue you.
Yes.
You will concede.
Yes.
I shall win the day.
Yes. I swear. She's going to get pregnant just so she can steal that favorite baby name I told her about while we were going out. It's like absolutely insane how committed she is. She's like, we will be together. I don't really have any jokes about that. More of just like
no,
a
that's. I mean, that's
this is all pure
funny.
Warning. This is all pure
just
warning.
Like, be warned. Steer clear of Walker's Pint.
I mean, great place to drink.
Just great place, yeah.
Shout out to Betsy.
Yeah, make sure. I feel like it's like you can't date like anyone in their 20s is the real issue. And then, yeah, last but not least, you know, if you want to try to class it up, you can go to Whitefish Bay and find a divorcee. That's kind of my last. But yeah, if you want, are you ready to upgrade their first marriage to their second marriage to your first one? I mean, do you want to date a man who looks like a virgin but is also an attorney? that's where you want to go. It's the Whitefish Bay.
Their house just says, I work in finance.
Yeah, I have more on this, but I can't really say them out loud.
We appreciate that. We appreciate that.
Dating a divorcee is great because you only have to see them every other weekend, you know?
There it is. There it is. Oh, man. Yep. So it's funny because I feel like there's also, now there's data that backs up your experience, Reagan, because Wallet Hub, I don't know if you guys missed this study from Wallet Hub.
Sounds like a reputable place for a study.
We are Milwaukee wound up 98th on Wallet Hub's list of 182 best and worst cities for singles. And so we are pretty low on the list, but apparently Madison is second. So maybe you just have to start driving to Madison. Have you ventured that out at all?
I went to school in Madison. This is a bad ranking. I don't believe it. It was way worse in Madison. It's way worse in Madison. You know, though, maybe I was a college student then, so maybe it's better as an adult dating in Madison.
I feel like it's not.
I don't think it is. I was very surprised by this ranking because, first of all, I feel like Madison's even smaller than Milwaukee, so there's even less people. I feel like so many of the people, you're either going to date like an epic bro or exact science guy, or an academic, or they're going to be married. Mm-hmm.
I feel like Madison is like if you gave Bayview many zip codes.
Yes.
And it's just going to...
Yeah, exactly.
Awful.
And if you meet them in the bar, you have no idea whether or not they're 21, because everyone has a fake there. So you're going to be hitting on too young of folks.
You met at the Great Dane. Terrifying. Run away. Run away.
Exactly, yeah. Paul's Club? No, thank you.
Because it's funny, because then in contrast, literally this week. So in one study, on the one hand, Wallet Hub is like, Milwaukee, tough place to be single.
I want to know their scientist team.
But then
on Wallet Hub.
In a travel publication this week, Milwaukee ranks as one of the most romantic cities in the country.
Okay.
I saw that. There's nothing romantic about cheese farts. That's just not true.
I think Milwaukee's romantic on an evening sundown in the summertime.
On a pontoon boat?
That's it. That's your window. After that, it's dark and weird, or it's cold and you're inside.
With beer.
Yeah, with beer.
At least with beer. So Reagan, as far as you've done the apps, what are the apps like right now? As far as, is it just running through, how often do you come across the same person that's been on the same app for a long time?
Oh, I've been seeing this same guys for years, where it's weird because I'm do we know each other? Now we don't know each other. What I'm trying to say is we have not swiped right on each other for years, but we've definitely seen each other's profiles. I'm like, oh, what's going on, Eric? You're still looking too, huh? Well, still not me. Swipe left. but it's a very limited pool here. It's so interesting too to watch the ebb and flow. Summertime, way more options. Wintertime, same sad 10 people. Yeah, it's cuffing season, right? Yeah. Everybody's cuffed up right now, so you're just kind of on your own.
And so do you ever see, because I feel like it is small walkie for a reason. Do you ever see, you just said, there's those people, because I do remember this from my dating app days. It was not in Milwaukee. This was in San Francisco. And San Francisco's bigger, but it's not actually that much bigger. The whole Bay Area is. But I remember there would be times where there'd be people, either you would see each other and neither of you swiped right, or both of you swiped right, you just never actually talked. And then you
connected,
would end up seeing them in public. And it becomes that awkward dance of, do I acknowledge that we kind of know each other, even though we don't? Does that happen to you?
That has happened to me. I've also introduced myself to someone who's we swiped right together on Hinge. And I was whoa. He remembered and I didn't.
Oh, God.
That was very embarrassing. I've also seen people I've ghosted out in public who then try to hit me up again. And I'm man, I ghosted you for a reason. Yeah. It's not going to happen. But no, that happens a lot. Especially if you're like me, I've got maybe three or four bars that when I am looking to hang out with my friends and have a cocktail, I go to the same three or four places max. So if I'm at the same places very frequently, I feel eventually you just kind of bump into those same people who are within your radius, right? Because let's face it, I'm doing a 2 mile radius.
That sounds exhausting in and of itself.
That's fair. All right, Reagan, we gotta let you go, but before we do that, do you have any shows coming up that you want to promote?
The only thing I've got coming up, would be, no, I don't have anything right now in Milwaukee. I'm in Iowa this week. So if you're listening in Iowa, I'll see you Friday.
Well, I can't wait to hear a story. I can only imagine stand up in Iowa. Hopefully it's in one of the bigger cities, but I'm sure you'll get stories out of that. Maybe you'll meet Mr. Wright there or Mrs. Wright.
No, Miss Wright.
Miss Wright. Sorry.
Well, Mrs. could be a Polly. I don't know.
All right. Regan Nimala is a Milwaukee-based comedian. I will link all of her socials on today's notes. Thank you so much for making us laugh, Regan. We'll see you soon.
You're welcome. Bye.
All right. Come back. We'll talk about who's headlining at the Laughing Tap.
I didn't want to fight. Started to cry, but then remembered
to As Goes Wisconsin. I am your host, Kristen Bry. Jane Metnair, who are we just listening to, Jane?
That is Back in the Saddle, the Curly Shuffle.
I like it. It feels like a swing dance that I could get flipped around to. All right, Mr. Greg Bach.
Hi.
Who is coming up as the headliners at the Laughing Tap this weekend?
Headliner this week is Mr. Dave Waite. He is making his triumphant return. He was here last year. He'll be doing three shows at the Laughing Tap, one on Friday, two on Saturday, with a 7:30 and 10 o'clock on Saturday. Tickets are, of course, available at laughingtap.com, so you can buy your tickets there. And tickets are going, I think we're at a low ticket alert for Friday, and Saturday early is starting to sell out as well, and then get your tickets for late night if you want to come out to a late night show. It'd be super, super fun.
Do you tweet out or on any of the Laughing Tap social medias the low ticket alert? Do you have like a special GIF?
Not a GIF, no. We just make a graphic that just has the poster and it says low ticket alert. Then you can see it. And,
you should send those out even when it's not low tickets. Because scarcity is a motivating
mindset.
Well,
the thing is that we thought about that, but if the headliner sees that,
oh,
and they're like, you said there was a low ticket alert, we're like, we were lying.
We were trying to trick people into buying tickets.
Exactly, yeah. So, you know, we have a certain percentage we'll fire it off at, but sometimes, like, if we're getting close to the show, it's like 2% below. We're like, yeah, just do it. Who knows? But yeah, we're honest people, Kristen.
I know you are. So what kind of comedy can people expect?
We have a clip for you.
Oh,
do we can go to the clip? Let's go to the clip, Jane.
I'm from Northern Kentucky. I'm from Kentucky. Hadn't been home in a while. You know, it's, you know, Kentucky's one of those places when you're not in it, you have to defend it. Because when you're there, everybody's like, we're from here. And you're like, yep, we are. But other places, people are like, Kentucky, cousins, and then some other stuff. And then, and you're like, I don't know. I go, dude, that's usually my argument. I'm just like, dude. And then I hope they change the subject. I'm like, dude. But then I go, George Clooney's from there. That's all I got. I really hope nothing bad comes out about George Clooney, because then we really don't have anything left.
I didn't know George. I guess I didn't realize that George Clooney's from Kentucky.
I believe Johnny Depp is from Kentucky as well. And if I'm not mistaken,
Ariel Elias, friend of the show.
What were that? Our friend had
the beer. Who shot skyrocketed to notoriety when someone at a comedy club
threw a beer can
at her.
Yep.
But she's doing great. We still need to get her to the
Lounge. Tucker Carlson, you're going to cover that in your little special about free speech.
Oh, yeah. So we're going to talk about that next week. Let's preview next Wednesday, because you have a gripe.
Oh, I have such a gripe with this man. So Tucker Carlson gets his own original programming. He has this show, but now he's doing like documentaries. And I use that word documentary very loosely.
It's like the Matt Walsh documentaries.
Yeah, it's stupid mentories. And he wants to talk about freedom of speech and how it's being killed. And he's going to center around the comedy clubs and how people are being assaulted on stage for saying things. And what's funny is that most, like with Ariel, she was being assaulted by Trump supporters.
Yeah.
And he's not going to show that. And two of the comics that they've shown in the video have said, I didn't give you permission to show this. I wouldn't be part of your documentary. Stop using my material. Stop using my content. So I want to watch that. And then I'm going to tie it in with a story regarding Mama Bach, Mama Jackie, sending me some stuff and going from there. But yeah,
do that in the noon hour next week, because I think that's super interesting. But at the top of the hour, at the top of the show, someone asked you for your comedic genius as far as coming up with some nicknames for Marjorie Taylor Greene.
Okay.
Let's hear what you, because I know you've been brainstorming there.
I have some.
All day.
They're not the best, I think. I think I can do better. So first one, Moronic Taylor Greene.
Okay.
Next one, Moscow Taylor Greene.
Does she have ties to Russia?
I feel like if she likes Trump, she likes Russia.
Got it.
Jerkbag.
It's concise.
It's concise.
Thank you.
It's
concise.
And then I like this one, but you did bring up a good point. Maleficent Taylor Greene, which I feel like, yes, it gives too much credence to her intelligence, which I don't think she has any. She's not smart enough to be evil. She's just dumb.
And someone, I won the name that I did not come up with this, but I've heard her referred to as Margarine, which I like.
Kind of like that.
Margarine.
She ain't as good as butter.
What did Chelsea Handler call her when she was guest hosting The Daily Show last week?
I don't
think
I can say that on the air, actually. No, I
No, I think she just called her Insurrectionist Barbie.
That's right.
I mean, there's other things you also can't say on the air, but it was something of, she also hates her job because she went on some rant about how people don't understand how hard they have to work and how much they don't see their families. I was like, yeah, that's the job.
And she was complaining about her salary. She makes $174,000 a year. She was whining about how much more money she made before she was in Congress.
What was she doing before? She's a business owner, but she didn't have to sell her business.
She worked for her father's company.
So she was making more than $175,000 a year when she worked for her father's company?
Working for daddy, apparently.
Now I'm going to go down that rabbit hole. There goes my afternoon of what I'm going to go look and see. How much money was Marjorie Taylor Greene making prior to being elected to office? Because I would love to make $175,000 a year.
I think I could make a budget on that.
If you told me I could make $175,000 for 1 year of my life and never make more than, say, like 50 grand after that, like bring it on and pay off all my bills and then live happy. Mm.
I mean, I get that in certain areas, salaries go further in some areas than others.
And D.C. is very pricey, obviously.
Yeah. But it's more than I'm making now.
Her father owned Taylor Commercial, a Georgia-based contracting company.
Yeah, it was a construction company.
Yeah, that's what I figured, yeah.
But I just think it's an awfully bad look when you go back to your constituents or whoever you're speaking to and start whining about how little money you're making.
Especially in that area of Georgia.
It's not.
They don't care, though.
She was the CFO of the company.
Oh.
Which, two things about that. One, And second, if you were a CFO, you're a financial, you should use that. It's like, I work in finance. I work in numbers. I work in money. I can talk to you about the budget. She never does that. She's just like, I love fur and hate Joe Biden. But yes, Dave Waite, The Laughing Tap, laughingtap.com, 3 shows.
All right. That's going to do it for us here at As Goes Wisconsin. Stick around for Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian or The Chad Holmes Show on WXCO. Come back tomorrow at 11 a.m. when we will do this all again. Thank you for listening. Thank you for texting. Thank you for calling. This has been As Goes Wisconsin. Those knuckleheads love to get in a scuffle. They push and they shove doing the curly shuffle. Hey, Mo, hey, Mo. Hey, Mo, hey, Mo. Well, yuck, 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 yuck. We'll be right back.
Thank you for listening to As Goes Wisconsin, available on Spotify, Apple, Google, or wherever you listen to your podcasts. Please subscribe and leave us a rating. As Goes Wisconsin is a product of Civic Media and airs live across Wisconsin Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Civic Media is a statewide network of radio stations broadcasting local news, local sports, thoughtful commentary, and hand-picked music. We are always streaming on the Civic Media app. Find out where you can listen on the air or learn more about Civic Media and sponsorship opportunities by going to our website, civicmedia.us. We thank you for listening.